Hi, Paul Sackett, Good News Planet. I'm here with Lily Sanders. Hi, Lily. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm wonderful. Thank you.
She is wonderful. Lily is fantastic. I'm very excited to get the opportunity to speak with you. And
it's
congratulations,
an honor to
Truth to Triumph, a spiritual guide to finding your truth. You've had a very varied lifestyle, I will say, personally and professionally. And I believe your desire to share that with others for them to grow from, to learn from, is possibly why you wrote this book?
Yes, it is. What I felt was that everything that I had experienced in life, it would all go in vain if I didn't put it in a book so that I can help other people. And initially, I was going to make the title, Don't Let This Happen to You. But I decided to be serious about it because it is a very serious book, and I seriously, from the bottom of my heart, wanted to share my insight and help other people see if they read my stories and maybe they don't have a voice. Maybe I can be a voice for them and they can relate. Well, if she went through that, well, certainly I can also triumph in my life.
Is it hard because, unfortunately, I imagine for you, is that you've seen a couple situations in your life that were, in essence, violent or domestic violence or husband violence and things like this. Is it hard to, or do you get through it maybe all a little bit better by writing it down in this book?
Actually, that's an interesting question. I imagine some people might have thought that it was therapeutic for me to write, but it actually wasn't therapeutic in that way for me personally, because I had already had my awakening. Two tall buildings falling on my head, that was it. I had my awakening, but what really resonated with me while writing it was that so many things, especially the last couple of chapters, just came right out of my heart. I don't know where it came. Just came right out of spirit. I didn't even, when I went back to read what I wrote, I said, did I write that? And so I knew it was really meant to be out there just to spread awareness.
Now you've had a successful dancing career with Ringling Brothers. No, you have. Yes.
Hey, those costumes were heavy, dude.
Sort of. Was that your out from a home life that possibly was not the greatest in overall?
Yeah, my first out was Star Search with Ed McMahon.
Wow.
And yeah, it was actually a huge accomplishment. There were thousands and thousands of hopefuls in the Minskoff rehearsal studios. I remember it like it was yesterday. We were all waiting around the entire Manhattan block. And we were one of the last people on to audition. And I knew I was going to win the audition. I knew it. I knew when I was waiting for hours and hours, I knew. I wasn't even surprised when they it wasn't a callback. They said, okay, you have 72 hours to shorten the music, shorten the choreography, and get a costume, have a costume tailored. And get on a plane. We're going to send you tickets. And we were like, fabulous. I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was great. So that was exciting. And then after that, I was on a roll of auditioning. And actually, Ringling Brothers was just another audition. And again, no callback. They said, pack 4 seasons of clothing in 1 bag. We're sending you a contract. We're sending you tickets. You have to be down.
So what did you do in the circus? Were you a dancer
there? I was
there?
A showgirl dancer, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we had 4 production numbers. The opening, closing of the first half, opening of the second half, and the finale. Midway through the year, one of the act women who was from Bulgaria, love her, we're still friends on Facebook, she had taken ill. And so my manager had come into the showgirl's dressing room and... We kind of looked this very alike, and we were the same physique. So I fit the costume, and I was asked to take her place in one of the production numbers on the elephants. So I got to learn how to ride the elephants. And that was pretty exciting.
How do you ride an elephant?
Please. It's not easy.
Almighty. There's nothing holding you up there except
it's
something.
Not. You have to have really super strong legs and a super strong core. You know, you're up on the elephant. You're not holding on to anything. You're like, it's not.
Baby elephant for me.
Yeah, that more like that. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's really so an interesting way of life. I'm sure that you didn't plan on.
Exactly. If I'm ever on Jeopardy, I will probably win a couple of questions as to, like, I know exactly the hair of the elephant feels like telephone wire.
That's smooth.
Okay. See, these are the things you learn.
No, it's good. I'm going to repeat that. I'm not sure where yet, but I'm going to save that little gem.
There you go.
And then you furthered your career. You also went into soap operas, right?
Yes, yes. I had a nice little run as a day player on One Life to Live. So I was a nurse. So I was pretty lucky when people were in the hospital, and you know how the soap operas are. I got called in for work. Yeah, it started with, you know, it started with under five and then day player. Yeah.
And just one more, I guess, or maybe more, but you're actually a real well-known public speaker and a motivational speaker. So is that all part of the book, Truth to Triumph, or what then brought you to that?
The book. The book brought me to that. And even vice versa, actually. That's a good question. I knew that I wanted to... I envision myself speaking in large forums, and whether that be on camera, you know, behind the camera, or on a stage, you know, the universe will let us know on that. But that's pretty much what motivated the book, and the essence of the book is what motivated me to go into speaking.
So give us some thoughts here, in essence, you know, that I imagine you share in a motivational speaking classroom or a hall or... arena, so on and so forth. Some of the words that came out of what I saw here were the word blame. So what do you do with blame? You blame yourself, you blame the others. How do you handle that word in I guess both accounts?
That's a good question. That's a good question. So a lot of us fall into judgment of other people, other things, situations, and self-judgment, which also will fall under the category of blame and self-blame. Both are very debilitating. Self-blame, extremely debilitating. One of the key things that I teach is how to separate yourself, see yourself separate from a life situation. Different life situations, look, life happens. We have challenges. And with challenge comes change. If we didn't have change, we would not evolve as a person, as a nation, as a planet, right? So, but when we see ourselves in a life situation, we need to not identify with that, because that's not our life, that's our life situation.
This is a big one.
Yes, every situation, it has a beginning and an end. You know, nothing
is
forever.
It's a situation.
It's a situation, right? What's a situation? Yeah, exactly. So nothing is forever and everything is for a while. I say that all the time. Sometimes people, you know, say, well, you live in the present moment, even moments end. And I say, I challenge that. I say, yes, they do. Even a moment has a beginning and an end. But that's the beauty of it, because you're not trapped in it.
Yeah. So, yes.
So no, it's that. Not your situation is not your life. You are life. The truth that is within you is your life. And what's your truth is what's absolute.
The forgive word.
Forgive. Yes, forgive is big. These are big topics.
They're right here.
Yes.
Right here in this book.
Absolutely. And
Truth to Triumph, a spiritual guide to finding your truth.
Exactly.
You give me one second. You will discover how to love, beginning with yourself, you would discover how to forgive, including letting go of self-blame. You would discover how to contribute while changing the vibrational energy of love in this planet. Love it. You will discover how to break the mold of generational blessings. Wow, that's interesting. We'll talk about that. You will discover your truth and how to triumph over every life situation. Okay, so we were talking about forgiveness.
So forgive. Yeah. Forgiveness is huge. Forgiveness is the key element that we need in our life to heal ourselves. Our body, our mind, and our spirit. We need to be in a state of forgiveness. Again, some people may continuously hold grudges on other people. Some people, again, have a large sense of non-forgiveness for themselves, which is also
our own worst enemy.
Right, exactly, which is a lot of our guilt here. We need to just let that go, because whatever happens in a situation between, let's say, you and a person, if we're talking about forgiving another person, that person, whatever transpired is exactly was at the level of consciousness that each person was at that particular time. And that moment has gone. It's behind you. So we need to start to let go of those moments and be right here in this present moment. We can't hold on to something that's already happened, and we can't hold grudges all the way into the future. The future is an illusion.
Yes, I'm with that.
You know, we're not
me
there.
Me and the Beatles.
Yes, exactly. We're not there yet. We're here in this moment, and forgiveness is huge. And what we do today will actually affect, and it's a good way of planning our tomorrow in a really positive way. So if we can be in a state of non-forgiveness today, love, understanding, peace, and happiness today, the best that we can, then tomorrow we will have that, I can assure you.
Yay, I'm on there. That's great. That's great. Intergenerational.
Generational
and intergenerational. You have a son, right?
I have a son. Okay, he's going to be 20.
All righty. So you've had the wonderful experience of bringing someone to Mother Earth, mm-hmm. and all the life challenges and the beauties of raising someone. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
And then you had family. So what do you think about the family structure?
The family structure, as far as parenting and children and siblings, we need to really, as parents, we have to take responsibility. We have to teach our children love through experience, not language.
Okay.
The vocabulary of this world, even like we just had, you know, Valentine's Day, and okay, the chocolate, the flowers, that's fine, that's great. But really, love is something that we experience, something that we experience inwardly, and something that we express outwardly. And when we're rearing children up in this world, we need to express that to them through experience as well. When you're parenting together, if there is if there are divorce situations that are kind of ugly, where the behavior is not what it should be, we really need to be responsible there as well. We have to guard our thoughts. We have to guard our thoughts, so that the wrong verbiage doesn't come out of our mouths about each other's, your children's parents. You know, we always have to remember, you know, to really, really protect their hearts. You know, we their mommy and their daddy, regardless of what you are feeling, it's their mommy and their daddy. So we really have to guard our thoughts. We have to watch how we behave in front of our children, as far as violence, domestic violence. It's not only just hitting. You know, we don't want someone's father telling someone's mother, you're a stupid idiot. You know, You know what I'm saying.
Doesn't
you
help.
Know, yeah, yeah. You don't want, you know, someone's, you know, mother saying about someone's father, you know. All of this has to, we all have to be responsible as parents, no matter what your situation is, because what happens is that becomes the mental dialogue in a child. And as they grow up, they start to identify that mental dialogue onto themselves. We want to do the opposite.
Deeds. It's all about nice deeds, doing good things.
We absolutely. We want to be, for sure, we want to express love. And if you can't express love, then you need to really look inward. Maybe I have not forgiven. Maybe I am still blaming. So it's all about really looking within yourself. And it's not just a person. We need to forgive nations. We need to forgive, yeah?
Yeah, Lily Sanders is a smart person.
Thank you.
And you're ready to triumph over it all.
Oh, I'm ready to triumph over it all. I'm ready to explore teaching the world how to triumph over it
all. And you are doing it. You are. You're on the deeds part.
Thank you. And you're on the contribute part. That's very big. We need to contribute.
Yeah.
And you do that. I see that all over everything that you do, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, we recognize the goodness around us, and the kind and love, kindness, love, and you know, the world's a wonderful place. So we're very, very up and positive about humanity and the peacefulness of humanity. There's, I think, a real need, and in fact, a challenge to. For everyone to really realize that most of the world is living in peace.
There's more good than bad, right?
There's some misconnect or miscommunication that the world isn't a peaceful place. And the fact is that, you know, we have 8 million people coming to New York, and, you know, there's some pushing and shoving and, you know, a few people maybe yelling at each other, and maybe somebody does get hurt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's us somebody, and it's mostly usually just one other somebody who really has their own difficulties living life non-violently.
Yes.
They have to live it violently. They've resorted to the violence as whatever the reasons are, you know. But the majority, of course, we wouldn't have a society now. Mm-hmm. If everybody was we'd be all dead. So it's all good. We're into the good page. Last two quick questions, if you don't mind. What's good then regarding that? What's good news for you? So what would be good news for you?
Good news for me. That's a great question. Good news for me is waking up in the morning and really, really having gratitude for my life and where I've come to and for what I'm able to share with the world. That's good news for me. My breath, the breath of life. Breath is life. That's
okay.
Good news.
Pranayama, they say in some yoga terminology, I believe. And then the last question, I know you know we're involved with the International Day of Peace, mm-hmm. which is September 21st, and we're working on trying our best to have a big, 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 big party to celebrate the day. So I've asked thousands of people, what does peace mean to them? So Lily, what does peace mean to you?
Peace is stability. And stability is in love. So peace is love. And nice. And when we have that sense of love, inner love, outer love, we do feel stable. And so that's why I say peace is stability.
I love it. I love it. Lily Sanders, Truth to Triumph, A Spiritual Guide to Finding Your Truth. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you for having me. It was such an honor. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Great. Thank you.
On every tree there sits a bird, singing a song of love. On every tree there sits a bird, and everyone I ever heard could break my heart without a word, singing a song of love. song of love is a sad song. Hi, Lily, hi, lo. The song of love is a song of woe. Don't ask me how I know. The song of love is a sad song. I have loved and it's so. I sit at the window and watch the rain. Hi, Lily, hi, Lily, hi, lo. Tomorrow I'll probably love again. Hi, Lily, hi, Lily, hi, lo. The song of love is a sad song. Hi, Lily, hi, Lily, hi, lo. The song of love is a song.